the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
It's the most amazing thing I have seen in years. The entire world is watching Syria and waiting breathlessly to see exactly what Barack Obama will not do to show off his leadership skills. Of course, the mass media will shower him with platitudes the more nothing he does, but not us, because we are the American Adversaries at Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. I'm your co-host, Lair Adams. And is it me, or does it sometimes seem like we've awakened back in the Carter administration, when you had to think up good things about your president who seemed to suffer from narcolepsy or constant sleeping? But my co says there is another similarity. Gas lines! As in everything Obama says is one. Christopher Hart!
Okay, thank you so much, Lair Adams, for that great intro. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. And I think one thing you can say for sure is we don't put people to sleep around here. That is for sure. Okay, we are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. And this whole week is kind of special in a lot of ways. A lot of anniversaries happening this week. Now, of course, today was the 50th anniversary of the walk, the march to Washington, and Martin Luther King, the speeches, and the president spoke, as well as Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter.
Who actually gave speeches, too, by the way. Yeah, they all Carter's, gave great speeches.
Carter's, I think, was the best. We'll be talking about that stuff later
on. I'm inclined
on.
To agree.
Yeah. But no Republicans were there, and that's a mystery to me as why they weren't. But that anniversary is today. Tomorrow, Glenn Beck has an anniversary. 3 years ago, he started his
Webinar, the website. TV.
Yeah, the name escapes me right now, and I don't want to plug him too much because he's on another network. What's that?
The Blaze. How can I forget
The Blaze? That's right. And Sunday night, we're going to celebrate our three-year anniversary on air here at 660 WORL, the American Adversaries.
It'll be as hot as a blaze.
Yeah, there you go. And you all are invited, each and every one of you. We're going to be doing this down at Cafe Positano. We're going to do a live three-hour remote broadcast from Cafe Positano. Come on down, participate in that. We've got a trivia game lined up for you, and we have some live entertainment lined up for you, and I've got the live entertainer live in the studio right now. Dan Peterson, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, I thought it was Mike McBath live entertainer. Reggie over here. Yeah, he looks like a guitar player.
We got two other special guests here tonight, too, and I want to get to them in just a minute. Mike McBath and Reggie Branch. But real quickly, Dan, you're on your way to a gig right now, as a matter of fact. But tomorrow night and the next night, people can come and see you at Tony Roma's on iDrive tomorrow night.
That's right.
And at Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs Friday night.
Those are all approximately 7 to 10 p.m.
And, of course, that's what you're going to be playing for us, approximately 7 to 10 p.m. Sunday night at Cafe Positano.
And we're going to have a great time. I play a lot of the what I would call the light pop and rock classic hits from the 60s on, songs that just about everybody knows, except for the original ones I throw in there. Chris, we might even get you up to sing a few.
I've been known to do that. I don't know if you really want to. Be careful what you ask for.
It happens everywhere
I
go.
You know, Chris is living proof that in Japanese, karaoke means tone deaf.
Oh, yeah. It works. It works. It's about having a good time, though, and enjoying music.
We are going to have a great time. We invite, once again, all of you folks to come out. We'll start our regular broadcast at 5 o'clock. So that's when the party starts, and it's going to go on, and Dan's going to play till about 10 or 10:30. And we've got raffle drawings going, too. Also, if you have an American
Wear your T-shirt.
Right. If you have an American Ave Series T-shirt, wear it. That will get you in a special drawing for a special prize, which we will announce soon. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So once again, please do come out. And Dan... you've been doing this a long time. How did you get involved in playing, groups and things?
You know, when I was growing up as a teenager, I played a lot of sports, but I also fell in love with playing music. So I had a rock and roll band growing up, and then kind of got it. Just played in my own house for a while, but then about 5-6 years ago, I lost my job, and I had a year off, and I began to just play around. I started walking into these places, seeing these guys play music, and I thought, you know, I did that when I was in college. That helped me get through. I could do that again. So I cranked it back up and wrote a bunch of songs that year, made a little CD called Living in the USA.
Living in the USA. Thank you for the copy you brought us.
You know, set up a Facebook page, Daniel Plays Music, and I post all my sites on there. So I'm just having a blast doing it.
What's your website?
It's a Facebook page.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Daniel Plays Music.
Daniel Plays Music.
DanielPlaysMusic.com. It'll take you. You could do that as a website, but it'll take you right to the website.
Are you going
to
have some of these CDs with you Sunday night?
I will. And okay. I have an autistic grandson, so what I do with the proceeds, I ask for a donation on the CD and then put some of that towards Autism Speaks, which is a great organization.
It is. It's wonderful.
That's fantastic. Well, Dan, we're really looking forward to it Sunday night.
Me too.
And it's going to be a lot of fun.
We will have a blast. Okay. I hope everyone will come out. That'd
absolutely.
Be great.
Thank
Good
you
celebration.
So much.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. And break a leg tonight. Okay, and don't forget, you can see him tomorrow night.
He didn't mean that. He just gave that.
Tomorrow night at Tony Roma's on iDrive, and Friday night at Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs, and of course, Sunday night at Cafe Positano. And I highly recommend that you make a reservation, and that's at 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano. 407-774-8080. Just tell them you want to make a reservation for Sunday evening, the celebration, and they'll know what you're talking about. They already have a special page in their reservation book devoted to this. So please come on out and see us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to meeting a lot of you folks. And like I said, that's Sunday night. And it'll be our 3-year anniversary. So we look forward to seeing you there. Okay, now, back to tonight's show. We are live here in the studio. 407-774-8255 is that number. And as I mentioned, we also have another couple of guests in the studio here. And then we're sort of doing a little musical chairs here right now. And one of the guests has been on our shows many times.
Yeah, let's see if he's found a voice this time.
Great friend of ours. He was with us Sunday night along with professional wrestler Hacksaw Jim Duggan, championship wrestler, but this is a Buffalo Bills football star. He played with the Buffalo Bills back in the day.
O.J.
O.J.
Jack Kemp.
Yeah, well, that's right. You played
Marty Schottenheimer.
Name
dropper.
Jack Kemp was
Al
quarterback.
Al Cowlings.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I know those two.
And more recently, Mike has been serving to help establish and really grow the NFL ex-players union here in Central Florida, which it is the dominant one in the United States now in all of the union, the players' unions. And Mike was the president. Now he sits on the board of directors, and they do a lot of great things for the community. And he's brought in with him a great friend of ours as well, a man that we've met many times at the meetings that we attend
players. No party.
That's right, no party. Meetings.
Strict meetings.
This man is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Washington Redskins. The first man, and I tell you folks this, the first man to ever high five the President of the United States of America, who happened to be at the time Ronald Reagan. Welcome to the show tonight, Reggie Branch.
Hey, it's good to be here, though. I'm having a good time just being a part of this. And I always say, though, when I see you two guys at the meeting, we always take care of business.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
You know, we're going to keep law and order inside the meeting.
Yes, we do.
You know, Reggie, I met Ronald Reagan, too. I actually wrote a closing about it one night, and he was an amazing man.
I tell you what, and also during that time, when we was up there on the podium, he also threw a pass to Ricky Sanders also.
Uh-huh.
Really?
So this was one of your trips to the White House for winning
yes.
the Super Bowl.
Yes. It was that time, though, as with Doug Williams at the time, and he won MVP. And the thing about
That game. That was against the Broncos, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was against the Broncos. That was a good thing.
Elway and...
And three amigos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Doug Williams lit him up in the first half. He racked up like 400 yards passing or something like that in the first half.
Yes, he did.
And of course, you were in the backfield.
Well, the thing about it, I was blocking for everybody. That's what I usually do, as help the team out. I'm just like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So, you know, I help everybody out. I don't get that recognition. But the main thing, though, it's like just like you had Timmy Smith, though, as a situational ran for 204 yards,
mm-hmm.
and Coach Gibbs them took him out in the third quarter because we didn't run this wanted to run the score up on Coach Reeves because they were real good friends. Yeah. So that's the reason they took him out. And then you put George. But this is so crazy about it. George Rogers was a starter. And we were just sitting in there before the Super Bowl started. Don Broaz, the running back coach, came over and said, we're going to start Timmy Smith. And he ended up starting Timmy over George. And that was
crazy.
He ran
for 200 yards.
You see what I'm saying? They knew something that we didn't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you mentioned Joe Gibbs and Dan Reeves. I want to talk about them when we come back, and we're going to talk about some other subjects, too. We've got to go to the break, though. Once again, folks, you are listening to The American Adversaries, and we are live.
Absolutely. And like Chris told you earlier, make sure you're there Sunday night at Cafe Positano's. We'll be there tonight, by the way, just checking things out, making sure everybody's ready for the big party on Sunday. That's it. But be sure to wear those American Adversaries T-shirts. You can win, and you'll, of course, have the best Italian food in all of America. We'll be back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and we're just getting warmed up here tonight. Well, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is that number. Christopher Hart and Lair Adams marching in the studios this afternoon. We got Nick LoCicero on the other side of the glass marching as he's working those levers. And we have who marched into the studio tonight, Mike McBath and Reggie Branch. And why do we have a couple of big old football players on our show tonight? Well, because when big old football players come to the door, you answer it and you invite them in. No, in all seriousness, Mike and I have been talking about this for a while. This is my favorite time of the year, folks. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, well, it's my third favorite subject, but it's right up there. My first favorite subject is God. My second favorite subject is politics. My third favorite subject is college football. I just cannot
with me, sex is in there, you know? I'm sorry.
You got to get your priorities right, son.
Yeah, I do. Boy, I do.
Kick your hand off and we don't want to.
Hey, you showered with OJ, no?
Listen, college football is, to me, there's no more exciting sport. Yep. I want to get you guys' take on that. But first of all, there's, you know, at the beginning of each college season, there's usually some sort of controversy. Usually it has to do with the bowl playoffs and who's going to, you know, how are we going to figure out who's champion, who the rankings and all that. But this year there was a little controversy that pops its head up every now and then, and it has to do with paying college football players. Now, Steve Spurrier, the coach now of the South Carolina Gamecocks, of course, the big coach of the Gators, and he played for the Gators. He played. He was coach for the Tampa Bay Bandits back when they played. He says he thinks that college players should be paid. So I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on that, because both of you guys played. You played at Penn State.
I played at Penn State.
Mike and Reggie, where did you play college
ball? East Carolina University. Better know the parts.
There you go. Okay, well, Reggie, what do you think? You think college football players, or Mike, how about you? What do you think? College football players should be paid?
You know, I saw an article here recently in the sports section written by one of my favorite bald-headed writers, and I can't believe how far off, in my opinion, he was from the mark. And the reason I'll say that is, and I don't know when Reggie was going into college. I know when I was going into college.
Now, was he for or against paying for
them? He was against them getting anything, you know, against them being paid.
Paid, okay.
Now, when I say pay, please let me clarify. I don't mean paying them $20,000, $40,000, $50,000. I'm talking about giving them a little bit more than what they're getting now on a monthly basis. And the point behind it is, when I played, we had 10 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at Penn State. And now, you know, today Penn State averages about 100,000 people a game, right? So if we play seven home games, 100 times seven, that's $7 million a year from that. But the point is, we are actually, I'm sorry, that's seven times seven, $49 million we bring in from just that aspect. But the point behind it is, We bring in about $70 million a year. Okay? That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these football players, when I reported on September 1st, we would work in the summer, June, July, and August, you know, make a little money so then we could help pay or supplement our bills, because your scholarship doesn't cover everything. You know, you got extra money for food you need and this and that. And we could work. Well, this day, the NCAA, which I'm certainly not a fan of, it's sort of the Gestapo of football, is the NCAA's out there saying, you can't have a job. All right, I can't have a job. Then what are you going to do for me? Because now the poor player has to report August 4th because they don't play 10 games now. Now they play 12, right?
Or and with the playoff, sometimes more than that.
13, right. Now here we go. Yeah. With the playoff, they play, we push them into one more. 13, and maybe with a national championship, somebody's going to play 14. Well, you know, wouldn't you agree with me, like, fellas, where does it stop? Because the money revenues go higher, 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 but the kid is stuck there with what he gets, and he should get a degree more because he's just given up too much time that he could be doing something else.
Well, I want to get Reggie's thoughts, yep. But first of all, you mentioned the NCAA, and one of the reasons why they outlawed players working is because, you know, boosters would hire players and overpay them and this and that. So what they did was they outlawed the player working. However, what that now does is it makes the player actually more vulnerable to the booster who wants to break the rule because he doesn't have any money in his pocket.
The kid will sell anything because he doesn't have any money.
Right. So you want to sort of increase the stipend that the university pays the student, not so much paying him to play football, but just basically increasing his cost of living allowance.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, maybe an extra, let's say, $200 a month, you know, just to make sure that he is fairly treated. Because who is supposed to get all this extra revenue every year with the new TV contracts, the increase in stadium size? Who is to get that?
Right.
You know, and remember, the players do enough for the school. Because, you know, at the major schools, the players will bring in, you know, football will bring in most schools, the big-time schools.
Oh, that's
the majority of the budget for the entire sports program.
The athletic program for the whole year.
So I think we've reached a point.
Reggie, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I put it in perspective as I understand what Mike's saying. But my main thing is this here, though. As if you pay the football players and you don't have a big program that's as big as Penn State, as East Carolina, they're growing. But the thing about it, though, if you're going to pay the football players, you might as well pay the basketball players.
Oh, yeah.
The softball team.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't play.
Well, Mike, what do you
let me respond to that. And the answer is, and this is a difficult question, because do we have to differentiate upon a revenue sport, a big-time revenue sport? In other words, you know, for most schools, the Big Ten schools, the SEC, the Pac-10, football's the big dog. If you're fortunate enough to have a big-time basketball team, that might be able to pay its way. Most basketball teams won't. So, and that would be a very touchy question. I mean, or is it just, hey, fellas, sorry you didn't play football. You played basketball. Too bad. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? And that's something that could be openly discussed at the meetings.
Certainly the bigger schools could afford to pay all the athletes.
Right.
We're not talking about paying them so much as we're talking about increasing their allowance.
I got to say, when I was in college, what I ended up doing as a situation, you know, it's like I had a job as because I was working on a scholarship. And also, after, like, the season was over, as that was over, I was going to work and earn money to come back to school to have money in my pocket when I needed it. And mostly what I was needing it for was also just wash clothes and that type of thing.
Sure.
My mom sent me, like, $10, and I saved that. But the main thing, though, is a situation of how you go about as saying college kids need money in what way.
And at what point is that amateur line crossed?
Right.
When do you go pro?
Right. See, and then that's another thing, though. That's another thing, too, though, is the situation, you know, all the things that we found out, you know, as I've seen when I was in college, as certain guys were getting paid, I'm like, You know,
yeah.
I'm a star that I ain't getting paid. Well, you know, but I'm glad. But you understand, you know.
Yeah, I think we got to go to the break. We'll pick this up after the break, and you're welcome to call and participate too, folks. But I think one thing we can conclude, and that is that the NCAA has created another problem in their pursuit of solving the problem. So they just have sort of changed the dynamics of it. But don't change that channel, because we're going to be right back.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of interesting how people want it both ways. I found that most things in life, you can't have it both ways. It's either or. Folks, we're the American Adversaries. You can't have us both ways. We're the one way, the straight way for you to listen to the best in political professional wrestling. And we will be back, and don't forget Sunday night, the big 3-year anniversary at Cafe Positano.
Hi, I'm Christopher Hart. Welcome to tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. That's soundbiterx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is being brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X dot net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It's totally safe. Use it on your kids. Use it on your pets. Use it on yourself. Do yourself a favor. RoxyPacifics.net. Let's go now to Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Ted, tonight we were talking before the show about the situation once again in Egypt. There's much turmoil still going on there, and a great deal of persecution of the Coptic Christians, unprecedented in history.
You're absolutely correct, Chris. For the first time in 1,600 years, the Christian Coptic Church in Egypt has not been able to have a service because of all the persecution and the lack of support from the world and pretty much from the Egyptian government as well.
So for the first time, basically in the history of the Coptic Christian Church, they've had to shut their doors.
They had to shut their doors. They were so afraid for their own lives. And there are so many problems involved here, but one of the biggest problems is that there is no media attention to this. There is no Egyptian attention, and there's certainly no attention from our own administration here in the United States.
Well, we know that the Brotherhood under President Morsi was persecuting the Coptics. Has that continued?
Yes, it's actually gotten worse. The scenario for them is that they are being killed. They are being persecuted. They are being blocked from their own churches. It is actually an unprecedented, like you said earlier, it's unprecedented, the fact that they are not able to practice our faith over there for the first time in 1,600 years.
And to be sure, their only crime is to be Christian.
That is their only crime, and I hate to even label it that, but that's exactly how it's viewed by the local Muslim Brotherhood and the local Islamist extremists. That is how it's being viewed as a crime.
And we have heard nothing from the Secretary of State or the President himself.
Absolutely not. And the mainstream media hasn't reported it. It is such a sad day for Christians in America and in Christians across the world.
Okay, folks, you will not get this story in the mainstream media, but you will get it at soundbiterx.com. You get the whole story, the full story, at soundbiterx.com. So please, go to soundbiterx.com and read up more about this subject and all kinds of other subjects as well. Thanks, Ted Bogert. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
And now, back to the show.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
Welcome back to the show. That's right, the American Adversaries Drive Time, along with Lair Adams and Christopher Hart here. You can be with us, too. 407-774-8255 is the number. We've got a couple of great friends in the studio with us here. Mike McBath. And, Mike, you've been listening to us almost from the start.
Just about the first day.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember I was driving down the road, and you had Danny McKnight on.
That's right.
And I called in.
Yep, you did.
Because he sparked an interest, and you guys certainly did, and it's been a nice relationship.
And you invited him to your next meeting.
Our meeting.
And you guys presented him with a plaque and an appreciation for everything that he's done and stands for. And, by the way, Danny was one of our first guests, Ed and Mary Ganster. Bless their hearts.
Wonderful, sweet people.
They were like our first guests, and they introduced us to Colonel McKnight.
I did want to say one thing earlier, going back to our previous session, Reggie. We were talking about when you're a college player, you get so many tickets. I don't know if it's four tickets now.
To the games.
Yeah, to the games. Right. But I always say this is a great way to learn humility. is, and I'll go to my, back when I was with the Bills, it was my second year, and I'm the starting right defensive end, and this is really funny. And back then, we were paid horrendously. I think my salary,
like $10,000 a year or something like that.
It was like $15,000 a year.
Right, right.
So I would take my 4 tickets out to the front of the stadium like an hour and a half before the game and sell my tickets. I mean, that's worth an extra, you know, $15, $20 bet, right?
Did anybody ever recognize
you? So, well, watch this. So one time I'm out there, and this guy comes up, and he, like, looks at me. Then he looks away, and he looks at me, and again, he says, "Aren't you Mike McBath, the starting defensive end for the Bills?" I said, "No, no." I said, "That's my brother." He said, "Well, tell your brother he stinks."
Did he buy the tickets from you?
And you know what? I told him, my brother doesn't like you very much either.
But he bought your ticket.
You can see where ticket sales lead you, right? Right.
I got your cash, buddy.
We're going to talk some college football here in a second, but I got one or two questions real quickly for you, Reggie. You played with for Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, Coach Gibbs and Mr. Cook.
And
Jack and Cook.
And Joe Gibbs, of course, has been very successful. He won several Super Bowls. He's gone on to win championships in NASCAR. He's a very religious man. You mentioned earlier the respect and admiration he had with Dan Reeves, who also is a very religious man.
Right.
And in that Super Bowl where Doug Williams and you guys were really lighting it up, that Joe Gibbs didn't want to run the score up on you too much. And by the way, Dan told us as he was going out the door, Dan Peterson, who happened to be in Moscow at the time, and heard that game was going to be on Russian television, Soviet television. And he tuned it in, and he said, sure enough, at 5 in the morning, it came on for 3 minutes.
Oh, is that funny? The highlight.
Should have asked Dan, what was he doing in Moscow? Anyway, Joe Gibbs, what was it like playing for the man? I mean, did he bring that sort of peace that many Christians have to coaching? What was it like to know the man himself?
I can tell you this, though. I'm going to be honest with you guys. He told a lot of stories about his ups and downs as trusting people at the same time. You know, as when he got into the league and everybody was coming to tell me as he was winning and, you know, going through trials and tribulation, as a situation, you know, about when he trusted people and, you know, he had to come back around and say, hey, you know what? You got to understand people now. You just can't go and trust me because once you get in the league, everybody want to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you win and, you know, everybody want to be there. So the thing about, he told us about his life histories and a lot of things, what he taught us as what I listened to, is like when you go through and deal with different types of people, you got to understand, you got to listen, you got to shut up sometime, and you just got to follow. As a situation, though, that I learned from my mom also.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like as going from my mother to listening to Coach Gibbs, and the trials and tribulation he went through, he was just trying to teach us guys, you know, the original Hogs and Riggo them and all these guys.
Yeah.
It's a situation, you know, it's like, that's what I got from Coach Gibbs. And it's like everything he touched, it turned to gold.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, though, he's sincere about what he's doing and why he's doing it. He's just not doing it just to be doing it.
And he was kind of like Joe Paterno, I think, in that way, who you played for, Mike McBath, in the sense that he not only was interested in winning ball games and having better football players, but also making better men, better human beings in the process.
You know, Joe's whole theory was win with honor and win with college students. In other words, even back in the late 60s, most colleges, you know, now it's 85 is the limit. Even back then, Penn State would only bring in 22, 23 freshmen. And you're where Alabama would bring in 100, and then they'd run off, you know, 60 of them if they weren't any good.
Right.
And I mean, that's their style. They said, we chose you. You're going through with us. And you know, Reggie, by the time a college player is a junior, you pretty well know if he's going to be able to play or not, right?
Right.
And a lot of schools would just run him off, make him feel so bad. But Joe would just come up to the kid and say, look, son, you know, all I ask you to do, just give us good effort and practice.
Right.
You know, keep your grades up, honors that way, and you're a welcome member of the team. He never once ran anybody off. He was beyond the realm of, I mean, this guy, if you did anything out of line, he would throw you right through the roof. I mean, you talk about the Marines. It was the Marines at Penn State with that guy. I can tell you that, boy.
But he had high graduation rates, and his players went on to become great successes, many of them great successes in and out of football. All right, college football. You tossed out a couple of names there, Alabama, Penn State. First of all, which conference do you guys think is the best conference? I think it's the SEC. If you look at the rankings, constantly the SEC has three or four or five teams in the top 20. Almost always one of the teams is considered, you know, for the bowl, the final, you know, championship game. Alabama is being predicted to three-peat. Mike, who's the best conference?
Well, I hate to say this.
Oh, here it comes.
Now, this year, I do go along with Sports Illustrated. I believe that it could end up Alabama plays Ohio State for the national championship. However, I think generally across the board, probably the SEC. You know what I mean? But I also think it rotates because every once in a while, you know, some of the other conferences rear their ugly head. But I think top to bottom, it's the SEC. And even this year, you will notice that, you know, Vanderbilt's not going to be horrible, and you usually expect them to be horrible. Uh-huh. And, you know, some of the bottom schools have actually done a pretty, like Mississippi State, mm-hmm. who would ever think they could win anything. Uh-huh. Yet, you know what? They've climbed back. So, I hate to say it as a Big Ten Penn Stater, but probably the SEC. Reggie,
what do you think? What do you think, Reggie?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm looking at the SEC also. I'm just being honest with you on that, mm-hmm. though, because you got a when you're talking about Alabama, when you're talking about, you know, different schools in that manner in that same vicinity, they usually come out on top. So, you know, it's a situation. I'm looking at too, though, is like different other teams, but I'm not big on what conference is going to win it. I look at what teams watching.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. There's a lot of good teams out there.
And the college football season actually officially kicks off this weekend, folks.
One thing, too, though, is about the SEC, which is a little bit of an advantage. You know, high school football down south is big, big time. I mean, I've never seen it like it is here in Central Florida. In this part, I don't know, like up north, you're not allowed to do spring football in a lot of the states. And spring football does give them an advantage, but my question is, I don't know if that's good or bad, because I like to see kids play multiple sports, you know, in a sense. Mm-hmm. I believe that good athletes don't have to play football all year round. Right. Good athletes can play baseball, mm-hmm. basketball, track, uh-huh. tennis, whatever. And I just get a little concerned that a lot of these kids are just funneled into football from 12 on up,
right.
and they're just missing a lot of life's experiences and a chance to really enjoy what the other sports are about.
Well, they've proven that mixing other sports in actually helps you.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, also, there's more actually youth football programs out there now as they're looking for new young talent. And there are, this year, there's statistics out. At the college level, there are 68,000 players. In the NFL, there's a little over 1,600, quite the elite group, fellas. 68,000 college players, 1.1 million high school football players, and 2.8 million youth football players. And while we're on this subject, now I want to go to Nasir Dennis here in just a second, but Reggie, you said that your mom wouldn't let you play football until you were in, ninth grade?
My mom said, I think you're too young, and I would like for you to wait till you're in ninth grade. And that's the reason I didn't play the game as a Pop Warner. And I look at them from my perspective, I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be honest with you, mm-hmm. you know, because it gave me opportunity to really, and I knew the game, and I understood the game as, you know, a little kid. But it's a situation where I learned so much more as when I got in ninth grade and I took it to that next level. And as a situation, I knew the trials and tribulation as a situation of, you know, as coming in as trying to make a team in the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to make the team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like I didn't know all of that. In the 9th grade, you had to make the team. But these are things that I learned mm-hmm. that kids think you just supposed to go on and get on a team and take it to that next level.
And, Mike and Reggie, we were talking before the show, you know, about injuries. There's a lot of attention being paid to injuries in football now, in particular with young kids. You think it might be a pretty good idea if most kids didn't play tackle football, per se, organized tackle football, until they were in middle school or high school, and they could accomplish the same goal in terms of learning the game by playing, say, flag football?
Well, an example of what you just talked about, reading the statistics, mm-hmm. what is it, about 2.8 million start off in youth football and it ends up with 1,600 in pros.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, you go out even to a flag football game or to a real youth tackle game, every parent thinks their kid's going to play in the NFL.
Period.
And you just go, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Certainly we want our children to go as far as they can in whatever endeavor uh-huh. they choose mm-hmm. to go. But there's so much emphasis upon tackle football at 10, 9, 8. And also, and I do believe this, a lot of kids don't mature enough mentally.
Exactly.
Right. One kid might be, and I like this word, tougher than the other kid, but 3 years later, the other kid who wasn't that tough might be a lot tougher than the kid.
Right. Sure.
Because they have a different maturity yeah. level. And I hate to see when I see these coaches yell at 10 or 11-year-old, mm-hmm. oh, you're not tough enough, Johnny. Wait right. a second. Maybe 3 years from now, Johnny's going to be a lot tougher than your whole team.
Right.
Yeah. He just hadn't matured. So there's a lot of danger when you're doing that.
Well, so real quick, but before Dennis is going to be here in just a minute, I want to ask Reggie a question. Speaking of kids and youth today, what do you tell athletes in college that, I mean, they're going to be approached by people that want them to juice? I mean, hey, buddy, I can make you stronger. I can make you faster. I can make you get on this team.
Using steroids, what yeah, I was referring
right.
to.
I got you on that. I can tell you this, though. When I played the game, I seen so many guys doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out to a point at the end, as we come to practice in August, after that first week, them guys back to the same weight again because it's a situation that they come in all bloated and,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, muscular and all that. But it comes out, it don't help them out whatsoever. I always said, and I told myself this, I say, God may waste to be trained with weights, not to get shot up, to be as to help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it just comes out to a point to always say, train hard, and I guarantee though that'll take you to the next level. I never did anything, but I just seen certain guys that did that, didn't go nowhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, though, they thought they can come in and be the biggest guy. But I guarantee though, if you just work hard and take it to that next level,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's all about.
Okay.
But I don't believe in them drugs, though, period.
Sounds like you had a pretty good upbringing there.
Oh.
Speaking of people who work hard and take it to the next level, that would be our executive producer, Nostra Dennis. Hey, Dennis, how are you doing over at headquarters today?
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Hey, we're talking some college football. So what's the best conference, SEC or everybody else?
Well, let's see. Where have the most national champions come from the last 10 years? Something like 7 out of 10 have come from the SEC.
You see?
I think you have to go SEC.
Thanks for reminding us. Thanks for stopping by, brother.
Mike, like you said, that turns. Every now and then, Big 10, 11, 12. Every now and then, the Pac-10 will have a couple.
Well, the good news is Meyer has taken all the SEC secrets up to Ohio State. Now, as long as Ohio State isn't permanently put on probation, they got a shot at number one.
There you go. Now, Urban Meyer, of course, was the coach of the Gators for a while. Muschamp is now. What chance do the Gators have with Muschamp?
You know, my opinion, the Gators is always a team that reloads, meaning there's so much talent. Again, I go back and reflect on the state of Florida. I mean, I think if, you know, Florida State, to me, it's inexcusable to lose more than three games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's inexcusable for the University of Florida because you have it's such a plethora of talent. You have the ability to, you know, draw up north because, you know, you're Florida.
Oh, yeah.
What a great mm-hmm. school. And now academically, they're through the roof. You know, if you don't win 9, 10, 11, 12, I think you should be fired. I mean, not much pity on the coach. Sorry, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've got the best talent. You got great schools. And between Florida State, inexcusable. Now, Miami, I like Miami. I think mm-hmm. they're good. And I think they're going to – I actually think they'll do well with Al Golden because I know Al Golden. He is a Penn Stater. And no, but he won yeah. at Temple. No one's ever won at Temple.
I know. I played against Temple.
And that's a situation where I think he's going to turn the Canes, and the Canes play Florida. I think it's the second game this year.
Yeah, for the first time again.
And that'll be a very interesting game.
Yeah, big test for both of them.
But I just think Florida has such great talent, such depth of talent, that inexcusable if you don't win 10, 11, 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie?
But I think all Florida teams shouldn't have to go outside of Florida to get great players. Now, you can go outside and get a couple of players, but I'm thinking you got so much talent inside of Florida. For why would you go outside? Yeah, okay, if you want to go and get one or two other guys, I comprehend that. But as the state of Florida, not just like, you know, if you want to put it, in, put it for example, Texas. Texas just got as much talent do Florida have. So what? But the main thing, what I'm saying about when you keeping everything inside, that's a winner.
I mean, the whole key in recruiting, as you all know, is try to keep everybody in your state that you can grab, particularly now. If you're in North Dakota, forget it. That's not going to work.
I'm going to shovel snow or something.
You still have a lot of players.
Hey, son, why don't you go to Florida?
There you go. Okay, we've got to go to the break. When I come back from the break, I'm going to ask the guys who they think is going to be in the Bowl Championship Series game. And that includes you, too, Nostradamus. And I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got a special story, sports story, that I also want to talk about with the guys. So don't go away, folks. We're kicking off our anniversary celebration tonight by talking one of my favorite subjects. That's college football. My favorite time of year.
Absolutely. And, folks, I think it's not really fair to get Reggie and Mike in here going against Nostradamus because he does have those powers. Those powers of predicting the future. He predicts the past really well, too. Folks, we're the American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling, and tonight, the best in football. We'll be back.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like a Thanksgiving weekend cruise on Royal Caribbean's Enchantment of the Seas from $139 per person, plus $100 onboard credit per cabin. Royal Caribbean's offering a special for ocean view or above cabins on 5-night or longer cruises, and you'll receive a complimentary dinner for two in a specialty restaurant, bottle of wine, onboard credit, plus a spa treatment. Or how about the Allure of the Seas from $6.79 per person? How about Bermuda Cruises from $4.79 per person? We also have Canada New England 7-night cruises from $4.04 per person. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage! Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Yeah, we're enjoying Hacksaw in here, too. How about a ho? Folks, American Adversaries, Larry Adams, Christopher Hart with some great guys in the studio with us. We have Reggie Branch, of course, Mike McBath, and Tyler Israel sitting in with us also. And, guys, I got to find out, who do you take in the next in the championship game? I mean, coming up this year, who's going to take the championship?
All right. I'm going to jump in first, and I predict.
Because Dennis is going to have a little.
I predict. Vanderbilt Northwestern.
No.
I thought you'd all start throwing stuff.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Actually, you're not going to like this one. I'm going to predict South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Because their schedule, they play Georgia early, and then it's every tough game is in Columbia. I just got a feeling that Spurrier has a sight
job. The old ball catch.
I know. He's a sight job. Mm-hmm. And I think if it wasn't for South Carolina, I'd pick the Gators. But I just got to feel the.
You think South Carolina goes all the way?
I think, now I think it's going to, and I think they're going to play Ohio State. Because I'm not sure who can stop Ohio State for one reason or the other.
Yeah.
And now, you know, will Ohio State be in probation? You know, Meyer has headaches. He gets tired. You know,
But
that would be my two. It would be South Carolina, Ohio State. I would pick the Gators, except I just believe the old ball coach has a psych job.
I hope you're right, because I like South Carolina. I follow Spurrier. Wherever he goes, I'm a fan of his team. Reggie Branch.
All right, it's going to be, it's hard. East Carolina. You know, I'm just kidding.
You're all alma mater.
No, but it's just going to come out. Who I would think, Alabama.
Yeah, okay. They're...
And I would think, really, could Stanford go?
They could.
They can.
So
they
it's
could.
Like, I'm thinking that... them two guys, because he got a senior quarterback.
Yeah.
So it comes out to
a lot of people are picking Alabama to possibly mm-hmm. three-peat. Notre Dame might be back in it, too, but I'd love to see South Carolina there. Nostradamus, we don't have time to get your predictions unless you want to give them real quick, but I want to hear about this story about Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King, where they had the tennis match of the century, although it kind of wasn't.
It really wasn't, and I'll give you a quick prediction since I'm Nostradamus, Notre Dame, over Alabama.
All right. Okay, replay last year. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, some people forget. Do you remember that Bobby Riggs beat Margaret Court, who was at that time ranked the number one tennis player in the world? Did you know that?
No, I don't remember that part of the story.
Uh-huh. Right, but it happened. And as it turns out, there's allegations that that match was a setup so that he could deliberately lose his match to Billie Jean King, the Battle of the Sexes, in order to pay off a gambling debt to the mob.
Whoa.
Not so far-fetched, because Riggs' family, his son, admitted that, yes, he loved to gamble. He would gamble on the creak of the door if you let him. Billie Jean King was reached for comment and said, oh, no, I don't believe that. He was never involved in gambling. Well, yes, Ms. King, he was involved in gambling. He owed over $100,000 from lost wagers and sporting events in 72 and 73. And what happened was a guy who was working in the pro shop at a golf club happened to overhear a couple of guys talking about the fact that, yeah, well, he's going to lose to King, and we're going to bet a lot of money on King to beat him.
All right, Dennis, thanks for the story. We appreciate it. All right, we're all out of time. Thank you, Mike McBath. Thank you, Reggie Branch. We appreciate you guys being in the studio with us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure.
No problem.
Night, everybody.